This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner, and I want to share a great line about Colorado with you, that it's a many-splendored and many-splintered state. That comes from two longtime political scientists here, Tom Cronin and Bob Levy of Colorado College. They first wrote these words nearly 20 years ago when they put together a seminal book on Colorado politics. Well, recently they sat down to update it. Only it wound up needing an overhaul. Virtually everything changed. Political ground here has shifted. And Bob Levy and Tom Cronin are with us. Gentlemen, welcome.
It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And I'd like to start with the fact that one thing that's changed in these 20 years is the state's population. I mean, it has grown dramatically, and it will likely keep growing. What are one or two things you think every person moving to Colorado should know about the politics here?
Well, I think the first thing they need to know the definition of the Front Range. Many people think it's a mountain range, but when political scientists and journalists use the term Front Range, they mean the populated strip of people that runs from Fort Collins and Greeley through Denver down to Colorado Springs and Pueblo. And what you really need to know about the state politically is 82% of the electorate lives on the Front Range. They live in that heavily populated north-south strip. Knowing what the Front Range is probably the most important thing. Most people don't. They see it all the time in print. They use it themselves. You ask them, what's the Front Range? They can't give the definition that I just gave.
Tom Cronin, what is something you must know if you're joining Colorado about its politics?
Number one, the state has such great diversity. Downtown Denver and metropolitan Denver are very cosmopolitan, but we have almost a Midwestern chunk of the state that's about 38% of the state along the Eastern Plains, and we have some grand areas on the Western Slope and in the San Luis Valley that are so distinctive. So the variety of the state. So anybody who moves to Denver or moves anywhere to the state really owes it to themselves to travel around and see the state. The other thing is we have a lot of people who were born elsewhere. We are a state of immigrants in a way, and that's true of our governor and of our two U.S. senators, and we are a state that's a magnet for people elsewhere.
And that is changing, of course, the political makeup of this state as well. I love that you talked about the diversity of Colorado, because you talk to a lot of diverse people for this book, former governors, other political scientists, Capitol reporters, lobbyists, and you ask them, what unites Coloradans?
That's right.
The answer was surprising.
Oftentimes, when people are asked what unites Colorado, they'll pause and they'll have to think for a moment. And the default position will be that it's a state that believes in freedom and spirit of independence, and people could get around to saying the mountains. But what's interesting is the mountains also divide us in terms of physically and geographically, and there are a lot of divisions in this state, including people who live in Denver versus people who don't live in Denver. And if you travel to small towns and remote areas of the state, there's a lot of animosity or jealousy, perhaps, about Denver, except when the Broncos play.
When you both updated this book, you used what was at the time the most recent data, and that was from 2010, 2011, and you described Colorado as a Republican default state, where all things being equal, Republicans will still win in statewide races, all things being equal. Does this year's election, which has obviously come since the update, does it change your thinking at all?
It's changed my thinking. I think Colorado now is a perfect purple state. We're no longer a default Republican state. I think we are truly balanced between the two political parties.
What do you point to in terms of the makeup of the congressional delegation or the history of the swinging of the House and the Senate? What do you look at to say purple, which is the color of your book, Bob Levy?
I think the big thing is the Democrats have won the last two presidential elections in Colorado. Previously, they had only won two presidential elections over about 50 years. A big change occurred in 2004 when the Democrats gained control of both houses of the legislature. More importantly, they held that control for 6 years. the previous 50 years, the Democrats, if they did occasionally win a house of the legislature, usually only held it for 2 years. So we have signs that where voting behavior is concerned, things are changing, and it's changing in the direction of the Democrats.
But Thomas Cronin, you're not ready to declare Colorado a blue state.
Correct. You look at the state delegation to the House of Representatives, 4 of the 7 congresspeople from Colorado are Republicans. 3 of the 4 statewide elected officials, like Attorney General, Secretary of State, are Republicans. And our view is that an attractive, adaptive Republican can win statewide elections in this state. Midterm elections, non-presidential elections, favor Republican candidates within the state of Colorado because the turnout of younger voters and minority voters and Democratic voters in general is much less. Anyone who says that Colorado has gone completely blue or has completely radically changed is wrong. It is true that in presidential elections over a 50-year period, we have been primarily Republican voting public. In Colorado, however, in state elections, Democrats have generally done better. Most people don't realize this, but Democrats have controlled the governorship of Colorado since we became a state, something like 57-58% of the time.
And let's go back to the fact that this shift from red to purple, as you describe it, really has to do with the changing population that we talked about at the beginning. Those two things are intertwined.
Yes, our fastest growing minority populations are Hispanic and Asian Americans, and they have much more of an allegiance to the Democratic Party in recent elections. Also, we're a very young state. We attract a lot of young, educated people to work in startup companies, to work in metropolitan Denver in a variety of professional capacities. So younger people and minority people, at least in recent years, have been likely to vote Democrat.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. And for the first time in about 20 years, political science professors Tom Cronin and Bob Levy from Colorado College have done an overhaul of their seminal book about this state, Colorado Politics and Policy, Governing a Purple State. That's what they call it now. That wasn't the original name 20 years ago. It's interesting that you write a lot about citizen initiatives, probably because they've had such a huge effect on state government. And one theme that emerges is how these citizen initiatives have really changed the legislature. Tabor gets a lot of attention, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, of course, but I want to talk about the fact that term limits grew out of a popular vote. And these limits are again going to come into major play next session. A lot of new faces come January.
Well, we're strongly opposed to term limits. We do find it interesting that although political scientists, politicians, observers of the legislature do not like term limits, they remain popular with the people. But our major objection to term limits is that it turns the legislature and to a House and a Senate of rookies and novices. People are there 4, 6, or 8 years. They have to leave just at the time they're starting to know the ropes. Talent is not rewarded. People are very concerned when they see people who have had promising legislative careers have to leave simply because time expires, their 8 years in a particular house is up, and they have to go. It robs the political parties of good leadership that they may have groomed in the legislature. And last but not least is the effect on the leadership. We now have people becoming leaders in the legislature who've only been there 2 or 4 years. So, yes, we're strongly against term limits, but we have to accept the fact that they're still popular with the people of Colorado.
Yeah, Tom, what do you think explains the disconnect, though, between the people who wildly support these and, I don't know if insiders is the right word or observers?
People like term limits because they generally are skeptical or cynical about politicians. Around the country, term limits are popular. It was passed here in the early 90s with an overwhelming vote, and I suspect it's not going to be revisited. If the state legislature put it on the ballot to, let's say, change term limits so a legislator could serve up to 12 years, my hunch is even that would be defeated by the people if it was put before them in a referendum.
Well, to wrap up, you assert that Coloradans like split government. And an example that you point to is the fact that the last governor, Bill Ritter, had low approval ratings. During his term, Democrats also controlled the state legislature and were able to pass some fairly liberal legislation. Could this preference for divided government that you write about be a pitfall for Governor Hickenlooper going into this next session in which there is a Democratic-controlled legislature?
Well, I have a somewhat unusual view on that. The real check on the Democrats is no longer the Republicans. It's the state constitution, mainly in the form of Tabor. Democrats like active government. Democrats tend to have plans, things they want to do, and those kind of things cost money. Ironically, just at the moment the Democrats have gained control of the state legislature, there's going to be very little money for them to do most of the things they'll want to do. So when people say to me the Democrats are going to run rampant, I say there's going to be a severe limit on that, and that's the way we've sealed our finances into the state constitution, and it makes it very difficult to raise taxes, and you have to raise taxes to do big things with government.
Tom?
I agree with Bob's observations about unified legislature. However, I think going back to Governor Ritter, I think he was a very good governor. I think that he, like George W. Bush, lost a lot of popularity because of the recession that broke out in 2007-2008. So the state of the economy has a lot to do with the popularity of a governor. And I think Hickenlooper, who's a more moderate influence than many of the legislators in the Democratic Party, particularly in the metropolitan Denver area, is likely to be able to work with a legislature. And he'll veto a few things from time to time. But some progressive legislation will be more likely to be passed in this coming session.
Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Colorado College political science professors Bob Levy and Tom Cronin have re-released their book, Colorado Politics and Policy, Governing a Purple State.